This morning comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, and you can find that on page 1597 in your Pew Bible. And this passage is entitled, The Temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where he for 40 days was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those 40 days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man does not live by bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all of the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will be all yours. Jesus answered, It is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up with their hands so that you do not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Jim. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to take us back in time a little bit. We walk up the steps to the temple and enter the gate which leads into the courtyard. The noise is almost deafening. We hear birds tweeting, bulls bellowing, lambs buying. Money changers are calling out to change our money from Roman coins into sanctuary coins. As we enter the temple, the men go forward toward the altar, and the women go into the side that is their place. The priest accepts the sacrifice that we have bought in the courtyard. For most of us, it would be a pigeon, for we cannot afford the bigger animals. The offering is placed on the altar, and the priest takes out the large knife and kills the animal or bird we've brought, and the blood is flowing from the altar, and the smell is in the air. How would you like to come to worship in that atmosphere? Isn't it amazing to see how we have come from the way we worship? Times have changed in worshiping God, thank goodness. Throughout the centuries, worship has changed many times, from outside to inside to tents, yes, even to bars, because that was the biggest building in a community. Sadly, as we change the worship, we not only gain something, but we lose something too. Sometimes we become more like any other gathering of people. We seem to lose the very essence of worship because we're trying to please everyone. Have you thought about it? Why are you here this morning? What has brought you to this hour? Probably every one of you has a different reason. People have told me through the years, I've gone to church ever since I was a little one. That's what I do on Sunday, is I go to church. Some teenagers say, my mother made me come. Some men say, my wife made me come. I'd like us today to think about the real reason we should be here. Here's what God said about worship. There are five things we should do here this morning in this hour. First and foremost is praise God. Secondly, recognize God's gift of Jesus. Thirdly, recognize our weakness. Fourth, celebrate God's love. And fifth, determine God's will for our lives. I recently had a conversation with my grandson. He's 41 years old. He's a major in the United States Army. He says he thinks the church has failed his generation. At first I agreed with him, but on thinking about it for a while, I disagree. I think his generation has failed the church. I'm sure the generation before him takes some responsibility for this. But in the end, I think each generation looks more for instant gratification. They want to be entertained. One of the things a minister hears the most often through their time as a pastor is, don't have any new hymns. I like the old hymns. Don't do the communion that way. I like that way. It seems as if it's difficult for most of us to channel our thoughts on quiet and reflection. Isn't the world a noisy place now? Where do you go to be quiet and introspective? I agree that I certainly enjoy a church that has stimulation like Franklin Hill Presbyterian Church. But it doesn't mean we should be like the world. Being a Christian is a tough decision. We have to be serious about it. Oh yes, we need the joy, because there's joy in being a Christian. But with our mindset on one thing, God, not us. Sometimes I think we worship on Satan's terms. That's why I had Jim read that scripture today. He tempted Jesus in the following ways. First of all, with material possessions. You can turn these stones into bread. How many of us live our life gaining things? How many people are going without when we have more than enough. Then Satan says to Jesus, I can give you power and influence over the whole world. He says, and I want to debate somebody that knows the scripture better, but Satan says, I can give it to anyone I please. Don't have to wonder where some of our politicians came from, do we? And the last temptation, God's gotcha. It doesn't matter if you do things bad. If you don't use your brain, God won't let anything happen to you. Nothing in the scripture says that. God has a plan for each of our lives. We think of worship as a place to ask for things, for material things and reputations and excuses. I know I don't fit in any categories because I've always loved church. My first memory of attending church, well, really Sunday school, is fixed in my mind. It was only a couple of years ago, of course, but my father took me to this big building. We entered a side door and went downstairs. I can still see the lady standing at the bottom. She was on the heavy side and had gray hair, something like what I look like now. She had a big smile on her face, and she gave me a hug and said, I'm so glad you came today. I have mostly fond memories of the times in that building called church. It would take a book to tell you all of them. When I travel from my son's house in Ithaca to Owego, I take a back road. This past summer, I had to go on an even more backward road because they were building a new bridge. When I turned the corner to go on the main road, I noticed in the back of trees and vines and weeds an old church. It was nearly invisible with the way nature had taken the land back. I began to wonder who went there and what caused it to close. It was so sad to me to see it almost lost from sight. The pandemic has had a huge effect on the church, with worries of crowds and gatherings. How many churches have been unable to hang on with the loss of attendance and financial means? My dearest prayer is that God has a plan to revive us. I pray that 20 years from now, like over 250 have gone by, Franklin Hill Church will not be lost in the middle of nature's growth. Why don't we see the handwriting on the wall? What kind of a world will it be if the church ceases to exist? Who will tell us about God? Who will tell us how much he loved us and sent his son to die for us? Who will tell us to love our neighbor as ourselves? Who will tell us how God would like us to live our life? Who will tell us about a heavenly Father who loves us enough to send his son to die for us? Most of you have seen on television this last week the new magnifying glass or whatever it's called that we can see out into the outer edges of the world. Already they're calling it the beginning of the Big Bang. Do we really and truly believe that we exist because something went pow. That there wasn't something that gave us life and gave us breath. Let me remind you of what should be in our worship. Praise God. Recognize God's gift of Jesus. Recognize our weakness. Celebrate God's love. Determine God's will for our lives. But here's the thing. It's not what we get out of worship. That's what we get caught up in. It's what do we give to worship. It is that we give ourselves to God and let Him lead us on our path. As Joshua said in the Old Testament, as for me and my household, we will worship God. In closing, I want to share this poem with you. It isn't the thing you do, dear. It's the thing you leave undone, which gives you the bitter heartache at the setting of the sun. The tender word unspoken, the letter you did not write, the flower you might have sent, dear, are your haunting ghosts at night. The stone you might have lifted out of your brother's way, the bit of heartsome counsel you were hurried too much to say, the loving touch of the hand, dear, the gentle and winsome tone that you had no time or thought for with troubles of your own. These little acts of kindness so easily out of mind, these chances to be angels, which even mortals find, they come in night and silence, each chill, reproachful wraith, when hope is faint and flagging and a blight has dropped on faith. For life is all too short, dear, and sorrow is all too great to suffer our slow compassion that tarries until too late. And it's not the thing you do, dear. It's the thing you left undone, which gives you the bitter heartache at the setting of the sun. What's in your worship? We need to take time to worship God, to let God lead us into the life which He gave you, and help others to happiness and grace. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we humbly beseech Thee for Thy universal church. Fill it with truth, in all truth, with all peace. Where it is corrupt, purge it. And where it is in error, direct it. Where it is superstitious, rectify it. Where anything is amiss, reform it. Where it is right, strengthen and confirm it. Where it is in want, furnish it. Where it is divided and rent asunder, make up the breaches thereof, O the Holy One of Israel, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.